All right, open back up to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and let's read our text one more time, the first 7 verses. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to begin this message by giving you the title of it. The title. This message is called, What is the Gospel of God? What is the Gospel of God? You know, people talk about the Gospel. Everybody talks about the gospel, don't they? Everybody does. Everybody knows that word. People say, I love gospel songs. I love gospel music. We're going to go to a gospel singing. Meaning, religious. Religion in general, right? But religion is not the gospel. Morality, sincerity, piety is not the gospel. People hear a fact laid down. Somebody stands up with a good personality and they lay the fact down and somebody says, that's the gospel. And what they mean is, that's the truth. That's the truth. But the truth is not necessarily the gospel. The gospel is true. The gospel is the truth. But not all truth is the gospel. Does that make sense? You and I are both dead, rotting, stinking sinners. That's the sad truth. But that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. What is the gospel of God? All right, let's look at this text. See if it will tell us. Verse 1 says, Paul. Paul. Every time we start one of the epistles, I'm going to say this every time because I just adore this. I adore this. Paul. Just Paul. Nothing fancy. Nothing special. It doesn't say Paul, comma, D period, D period. Doctor of Divinity. It doesn't say Reverend Paul. It doesn't say Bishop Paul, although Paul wrote, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. But he didn't write Bishop Paul. It doesn't say Cardinal Paul. It doesn't say Saint Paul. He did not even call himself the Apostle Paul, although he was. How could he, when he wrote in 1 Timothy 1:15 that he believes himself to be the greatest sinner on earth? Right? That's what he said about himself. How could he write the Apostle Paul when he really believes he is the biggest sinner on earth? He said, I'm just Paul. But he does describe himself to us. He says three things about himself here in verse 1. He says, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Those of you who know Him, those of you who know the Lord, is there any higher honor than that? Is there anything that you could say about yourself that would give you more joy and honor than to say, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ? If John the Baptist wasn't worthy to touch his shoes, how honored was that woman who the Lord allowed her to just cry on his feet and wash his beautiful feet with her hair? You talk about honor. Can you imagine? That was the highest honor of her life. I would imagine she spent the rest of her life telling that story. Telling her children. Telling her grandchildren. I've seen God. I have touched the Master's feet. I cried on His feet and they smelled so good. And I washed His feet with my hair, and it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. King David, the high king, said, oh, if I could just be a doorkeeper in his house. That's all I want. I just wish I could be a doorkeeper in his house. I want to quote a hymn to you. I love this hymn. You know the song, Oh, That Will Be Glory? It says, when all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore will through the ages be glory for me. That's all I want. When by the gift of His infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on His face will through the ages be glory for me. That's all I want. Friends will be there I have loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. That's all I want. Paul says, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. I'm just so happy to say I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Every true believer is grateful to say that same thing. All right. The second thing he says about himself is, I was called to be an apostle. I did not decide to be an apostle. I did not go to school to be an apostle. I was not voted into being an apostle. I was called. Called. Every sinner whom the Lord has revealed Himself to and done a work in him or her, done a work for him or her, and called him to this knowledge, every one of them was going to say, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's all I am. I was just notified. I am what I am by the grace of God. And He just notified me of it. I was called. I was called. The third thing Paul says about himself is, I was separated unto the gospel of God. Now, Paul grew up in religion. He grew up in religion. He said, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I was a preacher's preacher. I was in the church-going circle. I was working my way to heaven. I was racking up my good deeds. But God separated me from all that. I was separated. Separated from the pride of all that. I was separated from the arrogance of all that. That's all it is. I was separated from the flesh in all that. I was separated. Unto the gospel of God. The glorious gospel of God. Okay, now, what is the gospel of God? Let's start by looking at these four words. The gospel of God. First of all, it is the. Silence is uncomfortable, isn't it? It is not a. It is not one of. It is the. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, look at verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. This is the gospel of God. All right, now turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1. And look at verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. There's not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. If we said, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Servant of Christ. He said, there's not another gospel. He said, though an angel from heaven come. There was an angel from heaven one time. An angel from heaven who was cast down to the earth as a bolt of lightning. And he preached another gospel to Eve. Right? Turn back two pages to 2 Corinthians 11. Second Corinthians 11, look at verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. He said, I fear. He said, be careful. What he's saying is, if anybody comes preaching, starting in this pulpit, anything other than what is inside this book, be careful. You might listen to him. You might believe him. Be careful. There's only one true gospel of God, and it's the gospel. The gospel, okay? The gospel means good news. It's good news. Hell, fire, and brimstone is the truth. It's the truth. But it's not the good news yet. I listen to people preach and turn on the radio, and, you know, we just started this broadcast, and I hope the Lord will bless it and bless us. But I listen to people preach, and they get on there and they holler, and I can just see the veins popping out in their neck. And they're hollering, you got to do better. You got to do better. What you're doing is not good enough. There's this woman that used to preach in Rocky Mount. You better quit your drinking and you better quit your smoking. You got to do better. When I hear that, I think, what terrible news. That's terrible news. I can't do any better. I can't. What I'm doing is as good as it gets. This is as good as it gets. I'm a sinner. I'm just a sinner. That's awful news. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. The gospel is good news. It's the gospel of. Of means about. And it means from. If I'm preaching the gospel to you today, I have good news about God. I don't have much good news about we sinners. But I have good news about God. And I have good news from God. That's when I'm preaching the gospel. It's the gospel of God. The Almighty. The all-powerful one. Now listen to this. He said, and here's the sad truth, okay? Here's just the sad truth. With man, it's impossible. Period. But here's the gospel of God. With God, all things are possible. That's good news, isn't it? Well, that seems impossible. Not with God. All things are possible. All right, our text back in Romans chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. What verse 2 is saying is, this glorious gospel doesn't change. It won't change. The good news about God and the good news from God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's good news. It's not going to change. It's not going to change. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's why you're not consumed. Because I don't change. All right, now notice with me that verse 2 is in parentheses, right? We had English class, didn't we? So what that means is it was interjected right into the middle of a thought. Stuck right in the middle of a thought, right? All right, let's read verses 1 and 3 together. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The gospel of God is concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the gospel of God. He is the good news about God, and he is the good news from God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the gospel. If a person is preaching the gospel, he's preaching Christ. It's all about him. It's who he is and what he's done. Now listen, we're changing it. The song says, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all whom he opened it for may go in. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful news. That's the gospel. It's who he is and it's what he's done. The minute our message leaves the person and work of Jesus Christ, we are no longer preaching the gospel. We're not. The minute I stand up here and say, you gotta, and then put a blank right there. Okay? Well, let me tell you what you got to do if you want to be saved. I'm about to lie to you. Right? But if I stand up here and say, let me tell you what Christ did in order for you to be saved, I'm about to tell you the truth. And I'm about to preach the gospel. Turn over to 1 John chapter 5. Turn towards Revelation. 1 John chapter 5. First John 5, look at verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now look at verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. In his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. He's the true God. The gospel of God is all about Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to our text and we'll see who he is and what he's done. Romans 1, verse 3 says, the gospel of God is concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord. He's our Lord. He is God. He always has been. He always will be. He's Lord. Lord of all. Verse 3 says, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. One day for all of eternity, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we don't have one less day to sing his praise than the very first day we got there. Okay? And for all eternity, we're going to be amazed at the fact that God was made the seed of David. We're going to wonder at that. We can't. We're dead. We're dead. And we can't enter into it right now, can we? We hear it, but we can't do it. One of these days, we're going to enter into it. Now, this is holy. This is holy, holy, holy. He is God who made Himself to be a man. A real man. I can't hardly enter into that. I think He's the God-man, but I can't hardly enter into the fact that He was a real man, just like you and me. An actual flesh and blood man. With all of the weaknesses and frailties that came with that. They said, "Lord, take something to eat." And as God, He said, "I have bread that you know not of." Bread of heaven. I don't need to eat. But then as a man, He went to that fig tree looking for fruit because it said He's hungry. He's hungry. Right? He experienced hunger. As God, He traveled from the third heaven all the way down to the lowest part of the earth. The longest journey ever. And as a man, He traveled from Judea to Samaria. And when He got there, He had to sit down and rest on a well because He was weary with His journey. He was tired. Isn't that unbelievable? As God, He never succumbed to sinful thoughts. Every woman He looked at, that was like His sister. He never succumbed to sinful thoughts, sinful actions, sinful feelings, the ones that we do. Never. When somebody did something wrong to Him, He forgave them. Immediately. He never held a grudge. Not one time. Isn't that something? But as a man, He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He never sinned. As a man. Can you imagine a man never sinning? That's this man. As God, He bore the sin and carried the grief of every single sinner He chose to save. The government was on His shoulders. The weight of the world, it was pressing drops of blood out of His pores. But as a man, He didn't have the strength to carry His own cross up to the top of the hill. They had to get somebody to carry His cross for Him. Isn't that something? The truth is, this was God. The gospel is, this was a man. A real man. As God, He made intercession to Himself. As a man, He fulfilled the requirement of Himself. If man is going to make it up to spiritual heaven, then you have to live perfectly. You cannot disobey one law. You cannot have one bad thought. You cannot say one bad thing. Nobody can do that. Christ did. That's the gospel. Jesus Christ the Lord was made the seed of David according to the flesh. And verse 4 says, He was declared to be the Son of God with power. Everything our God does is with power. Turn to Isaiah 52. Isaiah chapter 52. The Scripture says, "The Lord is the strength of my life." It says, "With a strong hand He'll deliver us." Now, when I was about 5 years old, roughly, I mean for a while, Isabella's age, I can remember saying something over and over and over. Now, you all have met my dad, right? He's not going to win any bodybuilding competitions anytime soon. All right? But he used to hang vinyl siding. He worked construction. And when I was a kid, I asked him this question all the time. I remember this just as plain as day. He'd come home. He'd leave before I went to school, kindergarten. Then I'd wait all day on him to come home. He worked long hours. And I'd always ask him, "Dad, show me your muscle." Did you ever ask your dad that? "Show me your muscle." I hadn't seen too many muscles, you know, at five. And every time, he never turned me down. Never. Never did he say, "No, I'm not going to do it." Every time, he'd grab his sleeve and he'd pull that sleeve all the way up and he'd get it all the way up on his shoulder, all the way up. And he'd hold that arm up and I'd lay my little hands on that muscle and I'd think, "That's the biggest muscle I've ever seen in my life. Nobody can touch me as long as this man loves me." All right, now, look at Isaiah 52, verse 10. "The Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." Lord, show me your muscle. Right on. Turn over to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, look at verse 1. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." He did it by Himself with power. "All the sins of His people, by Himself He purged our sins." That's power. That's real. That's not fairy tale. That's real. He said, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. There's not another one. There is no other gospel. There's only one. There's only one good news about God, and there's only one good news from God, and it's Jesus Christ is able to deliver you. It's all power. Back to our text, Romans 1, look at verse 4. He's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. God the Father sent the Holy Spirit to Him as a man. As a man. And the Spirit descended on Him like a dove. And the Father said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Meaning, everything He did on this earth, as a man, as a real man, the Father said, "I'm well pleased with it. I'm well pleased with it. He's done no wrong, no sin. He was declared to be perfect. He was declared to be righteous. He was declared to be holy." And how do we know all this? He arose from the dead. He arose from the dead. Verse 4 says, "Declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." There's one faith, right? All of our faith in the gospel of God is built on the fact that Jesus Christ arose from the dead. That's it. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. And look at verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're getting your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Everybody who's died before us and we think they've gone to heaven. No, they just died. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What he's saying is we're missing out on a lot of football games. We're missing out on a lot of NASCAR races. This is all we got. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's the gospel. The sad truth is, in Adam, all die. Every person born in Adam is going to die in their sins. But every person born in Christ is going to live. That's the gospel. In Christ, if a sinner is in Christ, if you are in Christ, He came for you. He lived for you. He died for you. And your sins are gone. They're gone. You don't have to do better. The work is finished. Rest. Just rest. When He arose from the grave, He sealed your salvation for all eternity. When He got up, that was it. Done. Our text in Romans 1, verse 5 says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ. The gospel of God is a notification. That's what it is. That call, He said, among you are also the called. That call is a notification of what's already been done for you. It's finished. Notified. Now, so far we have been reading one sentence. Did you know that? Verses 1 through 7 is one sentence. And Paul closes this first sentence with the result of this good news. Because of Jesus Christ, because of who He is, and what He's done, verse 7 says, to all that be in Rome. I've never been to Rome. Oh, well, never mind. That doesn't apply to me. Have you ever been to Rome? To all that be in Rome. You know, he said the exact same thing. To all that be in Corinth. He said the exact same thing to all that be in Galatia, to all that be in Ephesus, to all that be in Philippi, to all that be in Colossae, to all that be in Thessalonica, to all that be in Christ, to all that be in Kingsport. Verse 7 says, beloved of God, all whom God has chosen to be loved. Loved of God. Verse 7 says, called to be saints. called to be followers of Christ, called to be the bride of Christ, called to be the children of God the Father, it says, grace to you. The gift of God to you. For God so loved the world, what did He give? His Son. Christ to you. Verse 7 says, and peace. Peace with God to you. You're not going to die in your sins. Peace. Peace within. Peace without. And every bit of this wonderful news is from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of God. That's the only gospel there is. All right, let's stand together.